Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless all of you on this blessed Saturday. This is Brother Nate, another God's Word to Men broadcast. And once again, we're grateful to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who has given us opportunity to share the Word of God again with you. Thank God for all you that listen to the broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you listen to the broadcast at. Doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. We want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call us at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone line will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over there, contact us at the email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWRD2MAN@gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we're giving to you. Praise be to God. So, glory be to God. We thank God for his blessed word. This is Saturday night. Those of you that follow us know it's heart to heart for Brother Lee and the Handmaidens. And I'll be joining them. And as we wait for my brother to come on, wherever you listen to me at, won't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, this day we humble ourselves before you at this hour, seeking your face and desiring to know your will and your plan. Dear Lord, today we humble ourselves before you, Almighty God, and acknowledge that you are the all-wise one, and there is none wiser than thee. Lord God, look upon your people at this hour, and Lord God, remember thy mercy and thy grace that you have extended unto your people this day. And have mercy upon us, Lord God, as we humbly come before you and petition you for the need of the presence of your Spirit. For Lord, we need your Spirit to accompany us this day. We ask, Lord God, that not only that you let your Spirit be with us, but release through your Spirit the understanding we need this day. Remember, Lord, that without you, we can know nothing, and without you, we can't stand. So therefore, Lord, hear our cry in the name of Jesus. And bless those who speak tonight, to rightly divide your word unto those that are listening. And bless the listeners that are hearing, that they may seek your face, that they may be rooted in the truth themselves. So, Lord God, this day in the name of Jesus, we thank you for such a golden opportunity you have given us. We take the authority of Jesus Christ and we use it against the enemy. Satan, we bind you in every hindering works, every hindering plans that you have even for this broadcast. And Father, we petition you that you release your warring angels to combat the enemy in the heavens. And Lord God, let your magnificent power be seen and experienced this day. So Lord God, we pray tonight that your Spirit will lead and direct those who are speaking tonight in the name of Jesus. And Lord God, we give you glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. We pray, amen and amen. Glory be to God. We are, hallelujah. Tonight, heart to heart, thank God for the opportunity he has given us. Glory be to God. And thank God for what he's doing. And remember this word that I want to give to you now is try the spirit by the spirit. And I'm going to tell you, people, that whatever you do, don't be so quick to jump You know, as I said it before, I'm seeing I call it a blow up of prophets just coming out the woodwork. And some of whoever now is claiming to be a prophet. And the tricky thing about this now, and I'm not saying every last one of them is false, okay? There are true prophets out there. But the tricky thing now that you have to watch out for the enemy, even causing false prophets to come forth, is that he know that many people are, quote, looking for a word, but at the same time not getting in the word themselves. And this is the thing that makes you a wide open target. And I pray that you hear this, because I don't care how much you say that you are a Christian. I don't care how long you claim to be a Christian. That word is your lifeline. That word is your food. That's the word that feeds your spirit. And if you don't feed your spirit continually, it'll do just like your physical body would do if you don't feed it food. What happens to your physical body when you don't feed it food? It gets weak. And you stretch it out longer, you can go into malnutrition mode, which is said that the body be feeding off itself, and then you can end up dying. And so we at this time and this hour, with things like the coronavirus and all this other stuff going on, that you got people, quote, looking for a word from God, but not getting in the word themselves. And so what the devil does is he takes notes of people not getting in the word, and he says, aha. And so he, quote, calls people to come forth. And once again, I'm not saying every last one of them are false, okay? But I have been noticing for this year and especially last year how so many people has been coming out saying, I'm a prophet or prophetess, okay? And listening to certain some of the things they said. Now, there have been some people coming out on social media, just like the Donald Trump situation, who was, quote, prophesying that Donald Trump was going to win, prophesying this and that, and they missed it. Now, I've only heard personally one guy who never claimed to be a prophet, but had claimed at one time that God told him that Donald Trump's going to win and all that. He actually come back to apologize and say he missed it. And so I commend him for that. But most of the other ones I have not heard say, hey, we missed it. And it seemed like some of them, instead of saying I'm missing it, now they're coming with something else to cover it. You said, why am I saying all this? Because people, if I can use this phrase right here, this is a blessing time. And it's also a time to be very watchful for the enemy. Okay? And on a personal level, you have to learn how to discern a true prophetic word. Now, remember, once again, you know, the word of God said, beloved, believe not every spirit, try the spirit. And see, once again, you got people who don't get in the word, and they say, I'm looking for a word from the Lord. Well, see, this is where you become a wide open target for the enemy. Because one thing about the enemy, many times when he calls a false word to come forth, many times, and especially if you're not getting the word yourself, it is not something that he straight up come at you with to be obvious that you know it's from the devil. He have many people that's following him dress these words up. So what happens is it sounds so good and so right to the ears. And so you're thinking, oh, this got to be God. Okay. It's got to be the Lord speaking this. And the dangerous thing about it is that sometimes it's the devil and using people to speak prophecies. Okay. And so, like I said, I'm just looking on social media, looking on YouTube and all that. And I'm just seeing the explosion of, quote, prophets and prophetess coming all on there. I mean, some of them I've you know, either heard of or heard or seen before. And then there's some of them, man, it's new faces popping up there. But the common thing seems to be prophet or prophetess, okay, coming on there. And see, you know, some of them, and I want to say this, ones who may not be a true prophet or prophetess, they know that, once again, in this time, people are, quote, looking for a word from the Lord. And they know that also that many people are not getting in the word, you know. You know, it's just like many of these gospel singers who are saying certain stuff that they way off base. I want you to understand something. A lot of these gospel singers do not get in the word. Now, you can believe me or not. It's up to you. Because I listen to certain stuff they say and how they act. You know, because see, some people think they are exempt because they sing gospel. Or because the gospel songs they sing, they got a bunch of followers, okay? So it's not so much as important as to get and learn to study the word yourself, okay? And so when you are popular, quote, like that, you can say some off-the-wall stuff at times. Now, don't get me wrong. Some stuff you can say is obvious that many here know is way off the wall, but you can say certain stuff that can creep away from the scripture, but because you got many people following you, they're still taking it run with it, okay? You know, just like I gave y'all an example some time ago, by DJ Haddon telling people ain't nothing wrong with shacking, okay? And the Bible doesn't talk about that. Well, how you know the Bible don't talk about that? See, you know, the Bible talks about many things we think it don't talk about, you know? Just because he doesn't use the word. Give you an example. The Bible talks about abortion. Now, you know, people are like, oh, no, it don't. And when most time when people say that, they look for the word abortion actually to be showing them the Bible. No, the Bible can talk about a thing even though the actual word is not there. And see, for example, dealing with abortion, God says six things I hate, seven is abomination. He that what? Shed innocent blood. Okay. Babies' blood are innocent. And when you abort them, you're killing the baby. Okay? So that's abortion. Okay? So just because, you know, and you have, so many of these quote, so-called gospel singers, I just listen to some of the stuff they say. And I can tell in my spirit that they don't be getting in the word. They might pull a scripture, like if they're going to write a song, they might pull a scripture out of the Bible. Okay? And make a, quote, song out of it. But don't necessarily mean they are really studying the word, okay? Because, once again, I listen to how some of them talk. And some of the stuff they be saying, you be like, really? Okay? Now, I'm not on here trying to tell y'all that I know everything. I'm not saying that. But when you start studying the words, and then you start hearing people say certain things that's supposed to be connected to the word that's off-key, you're a detective. Amen. Now, I'm going to pass my brother on here. God bless, brother.
Another day to be grateful, brother. Another day.
Amen. It definitely is. It definitely is. Amen.
Yeah.
Another grateful day in the Lord, brother. Most definitely.
Oh, yes. Great. And greatly to be praised in the congregation of his people, greatly to be lifted up, for this is the day the Lord has made, and I'm commanded, invited to rejoice and be glad in it. So I will take joy rather than sorrow. I will take the joy that is meant for me, for this is the day of the Lord God has made, and I rejoice in it. Rejoice. It's a wonderful day. This is Talk Block Radio. This is Missionary Night, Evangelist, the Women's Night, And we give special honor recognition to the women, to the mothers and wives and evangelists and medical help and teachers and whatever the women are in this world, making this world a better place to live. You know, the thing that you can tell when the world is getting off a track and going down another rail wall is when the offspring and the descendants of many nations are forgetting to honor their mother and their fathers, and disrespect and dishonor begin to rise in the land, and uncivil unrest, because you can tell when the devil is about to take over nations. One of the signs is the great void between the families, and the children begin to of the land begin to walk and talk with disregard to the elders and to their mothers and fathers. When the scriptures state the stability of a nation is remember and keep in mind, and it said blessed the hoary head, the white head. And so when that, you see that as a major sign that a nation is about to default and fall down. And when the Lord said, honor your mother and the father that your days might be long from the land the Lord thy God giveth thee, it's Lenten days, not unto the children and parents who have high regard for one another, but when you see there's a breakdown of that, of honor and respect for the elder, for the senior, for the mothers, the fathers, and for the people of God, then you know a nation is about to default. So, you know, what do you think? Because in my childhood and rearing, in my day, it was absolutely central and a must that you were trained and taught, of course, about your regard and respect for your seniors and for every adult person. So when you see that's missing in a nation, you know it's about to fall through the crack. What do you think?
I agree, brother. You know, and you can see, brother, the seed that they went to plant even a society when they went to, quote, rearrange the order in the home. You know. You can see it, definitely.
Yeah. And so this is a spiritual sign, a biblical sign, that in the land wherein you shall go, you should be blessed. And it talks about how the land will pertain, maintain its blessing as a people when Israel crossed over. He says, now, remember this. And so when you gather together around the table, or when evening time, or when supper time, he said, your children and the family and everybody. And I remember that when we were young, you know, everybody round the table, and they had to pray and bless the food and be thankful and gather together. And they would gather as a whole people. So when you see that missing in a nation, especially a Christian nation, America, you see this much disdain between young people today than the day that I live in, which was we had to give honor and respect to all adults, and especially in every area of life, that was a must. Now, you see a lot of things happening in our society between our youth, especially in the major metropolitan cities. Like I live in Chicago, in New York, and Los Angeles, and you hear about this disdain, distrust, why so many young people, and then you had to think that the parents have the great obligations. And you see that parents has fallen down on their special obligation to their children and their family also. So it's a two-way street.
Amen.
Yeah. And then we know that trouble is on the way when, and our society as a whole and many groups and nations, when people and young women and young guys are having children and that they are not ready to be parents or be guardians of these people, then you know there's a breakdown by the respect and regard for raising a family. When you see young people are having children out of wedlock, and you know a curse is coming. The Bible talks about, in the Bible, of when you're having children outside of the marriage covenant and out of the love covenant and out of the God's covenant. And when you see that, you know, in our society today, it's no shame to the girl or to the father. There is no shame. It's joy. When you know, I never seen such a thing, sighted brother, that young girls are having babies, 14, 15, everybody's getting around. Oh, that's so wonderful, beautiful baby. Oh, that's so. No shame.
Yeah.
No shame. No respect.
Yeah.
And a breakdown in what they call morality, family, around. Well, having a baby and out without a husband or covenant one is not something to be rejoicing about. What do you think?
I agree, because it ain't going to be a lot of rejoicing when curses hit. You know?
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Yeah, it's not going to be no rejoice.
And so, you know, and they have, you know, people out of marriage, young girls having babies. Oh, it's so cute. Let's have a party. Let's have a, what they call a get-together and give them a no. In my day, it was actually a really shame for a girl, and we should not, it was not praising her, but you don't have to abuse her or misuse her for her mistake. But there was no celebration of joy for victory, some triumph, a person doing a sinful act outside of marriage and producing children and wanted a great, great clap, hand clapping for that. I think that gives them at least to go and have a couple more outside, right? Since it's all good.
Amen. I agree. You know, the standard has to be set and stood on, you know, and many of us as Christians, we just haven't, brother, we just, in, you know, since, quote, everybody doing it, we have taken up that same kind of mindset, you know.
Well, it's departing from the foundation that God gave Israel in the foundation when the society in Hebrew children, actually, it was really, really strict thing having children at red rate in the Hebrew society, in the Bible society, somebody could be held against accountable and they'll go to the wall and get some stones. Somebody gonna get stoned on that, brother. So it's kind of, you know.
Yeah. They didn't. That execution, that judgment carried out, but if, oof, Lord Jesus.
I don't think a lot of people want to, they say, I'd sure like to live back. I don't think so. I don't think a lot of people want to live back. They think they do.
No. Yeah. That's why you did right. Cut them off when you hear that. Cut them off and tell them, say, you don't know what you're talking about.
No, I don't think you think about one thing, but you forget about the other thing. It could, because I was reading today in the Old Testament in Israel, if it brought a child, a stubborn, rebellious child with continued stubborn rebellious against his parents, and he would continue and would not hear them or the elders, and he would be brought before the elders, and he wouldn't hear, and he was rebellious and stubborn against them, and he wouldn't be a run around and be a drunkard, a gambler, or whatever, would not regard them, they took him to the wall. I just reading that today. I happen to turn to that scripture where in Israel, under the law, they took him to the wall, brother. And they said they removed that evil from society. Now, so a lot of people would not want to live in that day. They think they wouldn't want to live in that day. I don't think.
Yeah, you're right.
I don't even think they think it right, brother. Not on that.
No, I don't think so. Because they take that stubborn, rebellious child, hard-headed, wouldn't hear nobody, wouldn't submit to anybody. They took him, the elders, took them against the wall and took them rocks and stones. That was the end of that evil. No
well,
more.
That was it.
That was the end of that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was the case. But anyway, thank God for mercy, grace, that we're living after the New Testament, and God is granting grace and mercy. So we don't take them to the wall no more, but we have another wall to take them to. All right. Let's show you the difference when the Lord was trying to keep the evil from taking over the society in that day. And he had strict law rules about cursing your parents, doing different things, how he dealt with murder and how he dealt with accidental killing, how he made a way for people that violated the Sabbath or something of that nature. And so, but thank God for Jesus today that we're living in a new and a better way. But our society is running wild. And every day in our cities like Chicago, we have so many murders, killings, young people. It's gone wild that you would not believe it.
Yeah.
And so, and the problem with some of our society is that the parents are covering up for the evils of the children. And also for neglect of the parents, much neglect from some parents. When they have children too young, unprepared, and not guardian to raise children, you know what that creates in society? Unprepared parents, unqualified to give to children the family values and directions, unprepared to take care of them, that leaves a burden on society. And so we have to see in the capitalist American society is quite different from the other societies. Hallelujah. Thank you. You know, in the Islam society, that don't go on, brother. They got a very strict, harsh. I mean, so harsh, I don't think I want to live in that society. But they do have some very hard and strict, like Old Testament days. You don't see, do you notice that in the Islam society, you have men abusing and treating women like they were less than cattle. But you know one thing? You don't see no lot of babies running around without marriage.
Right.
You wonder why that, you know, boy, that's a strict Islamic radical society. Women's hardly have very few rights. And there ain't going to be no whole lot of babies without no husband going on in their society or in India side. You notice that in India, in the Hindu, they have a different structure. You have the Chinese in the old structure, quite different, very strong, values lines. But in America, it's free, it's too much freedom, too much liberty, and too much time. It'll overkill you when you have too much liberty and too much freedom to sin. All right, then.
Amen.
Thought we'd talk about all the good things to try to get a control of the chaos in our society, the breakdown of the homes is one of the key things why society goes wrong, because you can always tell when a society is going, a society or a nation, go to the home. All you got to do is why. Everything starts at the home. Is that right? Everything comes
Amen.
Out of the home.
Amen.
So you want to fix society, one of the places you got to start is at the home and the family. Got to start there. No. You got to start at the home. I know people want to start at the church first, and that's a vital place to start. Our religious values, of course, very important. But you got to start before you get there. You got to start at the mom and the dad, where the home, where the children come from now. You can't just bypass that. Am I right or am I wrong?
That's right.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so we're going to start out with our confession tonight, because when a child is in the womb of its mother, today it's not an important and sacred thing, giving birth, as Lord intended it, a sacred and important, probably one of the most important things in the decided is having birth, giving life. And so the young, in our society, the capitalist society, the Western society, they drinking, they smoking, they dancing and cursing and doing all kind of stuff. And the child is ingesting and getting all of this. So when they come out, the child is nervous, the child is jerky, because they're imparting to the child all that old cigarette drinking, all the drugs, all the kind of cursing and all kind of wild living has an effect on that child. And we are in trouble because of this, because everything starts at the home. And where there is no real foundation, no principle or ethic or love in that home, we're going to produce in society a lot of problems. A lot of problems. So as we need to look today where all of the trouble starts at, all of the blessings starts at the home. All the great blessings is about home. Abraham raised Isaac and Jacob. The blessings of the Most High starts at the rearing of the home. Okay. The Bible says something very, would you want to read this scripture? Let me see. Psalms 89. And what is it? 89 and 14. I think it's 89, 14, or 13. What, 13 or 14, whatever. I don't have my Bible here. I'm sitting here without my scriptures, heart to heart, face to face tonight. Just talking and sharing. It is Psalms 89 and 14, 13. Okay.
Psalms 89, 13 and 14. It said, "Thou hast a mighty arm, strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face."
Four principal things undergird the throne of God, the throne of the living God. What are those four things, brother, again?
That thou hast a mighty arm, strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face.
Now go to verse 8 and 9.
O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof rise, thou stillest them.
Now, it talks about the five great principles that's around the throne of God that it's built on. Now, the Bible indicates a lot about the Creator, the Maker, and about His throne, His character, His ways, and His power, and His glory, and His sovereignty. As we go to Romans 10, we're going to do some confession tonight. Confession, the Bible talks a lot about confession and possessing, and they're interconnected, confessing, believing, and possessing. The three great things that the believers connected to the victory of the believer is always dealing with confession, believing, and possessing. Now, and it's very important for us to confess constantly, confess something that assures us to the pathway of victory and triumph and an answer to our life. Now, the thing about this confession, and this is something that God gives his people they must do. The problem about it is that we think God is going to do everything for us and that we're just going to sit on the boat and just sit back there and just let him do everything. Is that this kind of view of a lot of believers? God's going to do it all?
Yeah.
We have a thought. It sounds good among many believers. Don't worry about it. God's it's going to do it all. He's in charge, and he's going to do it all. I think we have a need to go back and look at the nature and character and the commands of the Lord concerning his people. No, he is not going to do it all. I'm going to bust your bubble. God is not going to do it all. He's not going to do it all. And I'll say that again. I'll go and prove that in the scripture that God is not going, Jesus is not going to do it all for you. There is a part you must play. That's a part that the believer must play. Is that right?
Amen. That's right.
There is a mutual cooperation, an agreement. That is called a covenant. That's why the living God is a God of covenant between two. An agreement between two or three and more. I agree, God said, I agree to do this, and you agree to do this. Am I right? That's called a covenant agreement, right?
Amen.
When you go sign an agreement on a house or buying something, you sign an agreement, right? And you said, I signed my name. You, the owner, you're the buyer, and you both come to agreement. And the owner says, I agreed to do this. And you say, the second party, I agree to do this. Now, if you break that one part, one of these break their covenant, they're going to be hauled before some sort of justice or court. Is that right? When one don't live up to its part. Is that right?
Right. Amen.
And so the Lord makes an agreement, a covenant. And he said to Israel, I will bless you. You are my chosen. You are my elect. You are my servants. You're the apple of my eye. You are the one that I love, and I'm making a covenant with you. Now, notice what he says about this blessing of favor. I will bless you. I will bless you. I'm a God that want to bless my children, favor them, and give them benefits. But here's the thing. Read all through the scripture in the Old Testament. There is an agreement called a covenant. Both parties have to do something. Is that right?
That's right.
If you want to be a recipient to all the blessings, he says, if thou would do this, great Jehovah Yahweh says, if you would keep, if you would keep, if you would do, if you would keep and do, I will release all of these blessings upon you. Deuteronomy 26, 27, 28, Deuteronomy 7, 8, I will do this. I want to bless you abundantly, Israel. You are my special children, chosen. But if you do not heed my voice, if you do not walk in my statute or my commandments, you are violating the agreement. Is that right? Violating and breaking the agreement, right?
Amen. Amen.
Okay. Now, you have this blessed home and mansion. Oh, it's, everybody's happy about this. Oh, this is my dream. I got an ownership of my house, a beautiful mansion. But you signed an agreement. If you didn't pay for it cash, the mansion costs $200,000 or $300,000. The majority of people in our society can't do that. But you make an agreement. and the beautiful, lovely, sweet home, and you're into it. But if you don't live up to the mortgage agreement, somebody's going to be unhappy in a little while.
Amen. Amen.
I mean, that new Mercedes you got in the yard. Oh, my goodness, I got my dream Corvette, Mercedes, Porsche. Oh, but you got like 107 months, 84 months to fulfill the part of the agreement to pay it in full. Is that right? Oh, yeah.
Amen.
You're going to look out one day, where did my car go? Where's my automobile go? Where's my Mercedes? Where's my Porsche at? Hello, Jeannie, where's it at? Where's my Ford, my Volvo? It's gone. Somebody took my car. Brother Nate, where's my automobile? Somebody stole it. No, not necessarily. That could happen. That does happen. But you better go and check, did you live up to your agreement? Is that right?
That's right.
And you go, and the man called you. I took the car back. I took the blessing back. You didn't want the blessing, so I took it back. So now go get your bicycle. Go get your bicycle. Go get your horse or your mule, whatever you got to ride. If you ain't got one of them, get them 2 feet on the road. All right.
Amen.
Let's see. The blessings is taken by. Now, most people in the Christian faith in the Western world, especially, they believe it's all free and you have to do nothing. Now, the gift is free. God, Jesus paid freely for the gift and the blessing. But there is something. There is something the second party has to do and to say and to do and say. Do and say. Now, understand about the Christian, after he come to Christ, he feel like he don't have to say or do. But he does. Because there is an agreement between the two. The two. Now, remember, the Bible says that every redeemed person is no longer his own master, and he's purchased with a price, and he got a new master, a new owner. He's been purchased with the blood of Jesus, and you, somebody owns you now. Title indeed. You have submitted,
mm-hmm.
and your will, and said, you are my owner, my master. Jesus is called the master. Now, hallelujah. Now listen. It says, my word is truth. Is that what it said in John 17:17? My word is truth. And the word is connected to covenant will, the word of a person. When I lived in the South and a young man in that society, as a black Christian home, your word was the bond. Is that right?
That's right.
One thing about the people, mostly in the South and raised up in a black home, when mama or daddy said something, that was the word. That they, if they said they was going to do it, it was humanly possible, it was going to get done. Is that right?
Yeah, amen.
You could take that word. Well, I'm going to give you that for Christmas. When Christmas get around here, you run around Christmas, I promise I'm going to give you this bike at Christmas, so when it comes, you're going to get it right. When you heard that word, you just start shouting, right, because you know it was a done deal. It was humanly possible.
Amen.
Right? You didn't say,
right.
Oh, I don't. It was a done deal because that word went out of their mouth, and they said, you're going to get a bike for Christmas. And unless a disaster or unforeseen, unthing, human thing, you were sure because they gave their word, and it was 8 months away, and you start rejoicing right then. You don't have the bike. You're not riding the bike. You don't see it. You know, you start rejoicing because you know their word. You didn't wait till the bike came to start rejoicing. You started jumping up then and being excited right then, right? Because at that word, you knew it was going to happen. Because when they promised to whoop you and get that strap, whatever, mostly they promised, it was going to come to pass. Is that right?
Amen.
At they word. Oh, you start jumping up. Oh, I got a bike, I got a bike. No, it's another month away, but why are you jumping up? Because of their word. It's a sure deal. Hallelujah. At their word. And you start telling all your friends, I'm going to get a bike for Christmas. I got a bike coming. Oh, I got a bike coming at Christmas. Oh, I'm going to be riding my bike at December. I'm going to be riding. You start you started coming in agreement and confessing it everywhere, right? The kids start running,
Amen.
Confessing, and announcing it everywhere. Is it right?
Amen.
Start confessing. Even though they hadn't arrived, it's mom's or dad's word was so regarded and respected. It was to the kid, it was as it was already done. And they started confessing and announcing everywhere. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, the Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, Romans, is that Romans 10? If thou shalt confess with thy mouth, if thou shalt acknowledge or confess or announce with thy mouth or declare with thy mouth, thy tongue, and believe in thy heart. It says something about this principle, right? If thou shalt say or confess or announce, declare from your mouth, and believe in your heart, if thou shalt confess and declare through your tongue or your mouth. Confess what? Did it say what should we confess? The foundation of the Christians possessing the victory of the benefits. What does he have to do?
Confess with his mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in his heart.
Believe in his heart what?
The God that raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Now, wait a minute now, brother. Why is that so important, the part that we play and the part that God's play? Well, I don't have to do nothing. God's going to do it all, right? Okay? Is that how it works?
No. Not at all.
You don't work that way?
No. Don't work like that.
But Christ died for sins for the whole world. Don't it say in John 3, so he died and paid the price for redemption and the sins, deliverance of the whole world. So everybody just automatically receives it, right? They don't have to do anything, right?
Nope, that ain't how it works.
Well, he just said in John 3, he died for all nations, all people, to redeem them from the curse of sin. So it's a done deal. Right? I mean, what are you telling me?
You got a part to play to activate it.
You mean it's something I got to do in order to receive the benefit of his death, his suffering, bearing my sins, deliver me from the sin nature? You mean there's something that I must do, the individual or the nation must do in order to be a benefit? Factor of that blessing is not automatic. It's not automatic. If it was automatic, the whole world would be saved automatically, right?
Right. Amen.
But they're not. They have to make a choice and a decision, and they have to do something. They have to open to receive it. There's a part every individual must play to receive what Jesus has purchased with his own life and his blood, to partakers of the grace of redemption, eternal life, and redemption from the curse of sin. There is something that everyone must do, because that's why they got to hear the gospel. That when they hear the gospel, if they're convicted, they confess that they believe. Right? They either shout
Amen.
And confess, they believe.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
That's okay. And then, so Paul explains it more to the Gentile church and expands on this. Thou shalt confess with thy what? Thy mouth. And believe in thy what?
Thy heart.
The Lord who? The Lord Confucius?
No, the Lord Jesus.
The Muhammad?
Nope.
Are you sure? It didn't say something about Tao, taking the oath to the Masons, the Illuminati, or Rosicrucian, or somebody else. Are
nope.
you sure?
I'm sure. None of that.
You need to go back and take some reading class. I'm sure it says take an oath declaration to Allah, Muhammad, Tao, Confucius, some Rocrucian, Illuminati, Masonic order, some Mormon curse, or some Jehovah's Witness, or Protestant, or Catholic. Are you sure it said the Lord who?
The Lord Jesus.
I think you biased and close-minded, brother. All religions are good. I mean, what do you? I mean, you can confess evil. You can also confess evil, and confess a lie and a deception. And that's what Satan.
Right.
This is what Satan gets. Satan said. Jesus said the nature of Satan. He's a liar. John 8:44. First thing you know about the evil one who tried to steal this blessing, who steal what Jesus has done for all people, to rob, to blind, to bind, and to deceive. It says. 8:44 John, Satan is the father of lies. He lied to Eve in the garden, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
And she dropped the word, didn't she? What did she do
in
order to be? She dropped the word of God. Is that right?
Amen.
Now, they were given a word. Adam and Eve was given a word covenant. And Satan, in order to win the temporary battle of deception, he had to get her to deny, reject, or renounce the word that they had received in the God. And she let that word go, brother. She dropped that word and took the devil's word. Is that right?
That's right.
And when she received the devil's word, who was the deceiver, she inherit death, not life anymore. Is that right?
That's right.
So Jesus said, my word is spirit and life. I am the life and the resurrection. My word is the spirit and life. My word is truth. My word, by the whole universe, is held together by my word. Hebrew 1 says, the whole universe is held together by God's word. And he spoke and he wills. And you know, everything is kind of obeying God's word, the whole universe. You notice that all the universe and all the different planets and millions of stars, they're not running together and just jumping and running against it. They holding to the word God said, be in your orbit. Be in your lane. Stay in your lane. And they
Amen.
Obey. But us human, made in his image and likeness, what are we doing? Are you driving in your lane? Are you walking in order? So how did Satan get control of the world and the nations and of men? Eve, this. He persuaded Eve that the Creator was a liar.
Yeah.
What did he, that slimy, crooked, broke wing, cunning, who got inside of a serpent and began to walk and talk and said to Eve, he persuaded her to drop the covenant word of life. And then she took it, this word, to Adam, and he took partaker of this word, and we all inherit death, separation, disconnection from the living God. Now, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, now you know what the Bible says? Let every man be a liar. Let every demon and devil be a liar, but let God's word remain truth. Let the living God, the eternal God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and his son Jesus, let their word become, is absolutely true. Do you know that the Bible, brother, do you know that the book that we refer to as the translated, abridged version of the Bible, that every word in that Bible does not come from God? Now, I like to make these kind
Amen.
Of statements because people take, huh?
Amen. I told some
like
people that, brother, and they eyes book, brother.
I mean, I like to make these little statements because people, in general, they take, everything in the God, where's God? I said, no, that bridge version, the abridged version translated out of the original language, in our English language, the bridge version translated version, everything in that book, God did not speak it. And God did not inspire everything in that book. Every word in that Bible is not inspired. Everything in that Bible is not a direct revelation. And God did not speak everything. This is where the Bible tells us, in studying the book, the Bible, rightly divide the words of truth. Now, if we don't rightly divide, we'll think everything in the Bible that God said, God spoke. No, God did not say everything in that book. Am I wrong? Correct me, brother, because I could be wrong.
No, you're right. You're right about that.
So there are promises, there are inspired words, then there are words that he actually spoke called direct revelation. Thus saith the Lord. Now, let's go and discern and divide the direct promises, direct revelation, and the inspired part of the word. You get that? The inspired by the Holy Ghost. Inspired when God moved upon men, and the direct word when he spoke to Moses face to face, I am the Lord thy God. Now, this is the direct voice. I am the am that I am. Now, when he said, I am, Moses, I am that I am. That's a direct voice speaking. Now, let's go back. Direct promises and the inspired promises that made to God's people, especially the New Testament believers in Christ. I am means that it's settled. I am. When I am said, brother, it's I am. Is that right?
Amen.
It was, it is, and will be. These are the eternal sayings, unalterable decrees of God. In the Bible, there are some things called unalterable decrees and words of God and promises, unalterable. And they are eternal. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his many benefits? You go in Psalms 103, he says, what shall I render to the Lord for all of his many benefits to his people? Then he makes another statement that this is the direct promise and revelation in Psalm 103. He says, about blessing the Lord. It started off, oh, bless the Lord, and what shall I render for all his many? Bless the Lord, and all time his praise. Bless the Lord for his many. Now, then it says, God said, who healeth all my diseases? Now, here's the thing that he made the promise to Israel and to the believer. Who healeth all my diseases, forgiveth all my iniquity. Forgiveth all my iniquity. Who forgiveth all of my iniquity and healeth all my diseases. Then he says, I don't have my Bible here before me. I'm not on the table where I have my Bibles before me. I'm sitting on this couch cooling out. So I don't have my Bible before me, even though it's laying over here. Now, he says, who forgiveth all my iniquity and healeth all my diseases. You mean the will of God in Christ that he sent to Israel and the world and his people, I want to forgive all your iniquity and heal all your diseases. Did he lie or did he mean that? Is that a direct? Do you think that he really, that's an intent? Is that God's intent and purpose?
Yes, it is. I do believe it.
You either got to believe it or don't believe it. It's if you don't believe it, that means doubt, that's unbelief. So you either believe it that he spoke the truth, or it is inspired revelation true, it is or it ain't. It's one or the other. Ain't. Well, I don't know. But that's doubt. Well, no, I don't believe. That's unbelief. Well, I don't know. That's way back there. God, maybe he's kind of lying today, and maybe that don't apply. That's apply way back there. That's, when did God change that? Okay. Now, I want to know. Tell me the day he changed that. Well, he's, you know, that don't be no more. I said, well, tell me the date that he changed that. I'd like to know. You got it down written in the book, the day he said, I changed that? Have you got a place in where I changed that?
You won't find that place.
And then when Jesus became a man and became the Son of Man and walked in the earth, the Bible said it in the 10th chapter, what is it? Luke, oh no. What is it? Acts 10:38. Jesus went everywhere. Now this is strange. Jesus reinforced his same promise. It said Jesus Christ went everywhere, healing all. Wait a minute. I thought he had changed that, brother. When we got over the New Testament, he changed that. But it said Jesus went everywhere because it said Jesus said he came to do the will of the Father. He said, I don't do nothing until the Father tell me. So the Father reinforced that in the New Testament. Jesus said, I said nothing. I don't do nothing without the Father's direct leading. And so everything that Jesus did was the Father doing it. He said, I don't do nothing. It's the Father that's doing this work. John 14, it's the Father in me. So here's the Lord Jesus enforcing as the Son of God, reinforcing what the Lord had spoken in the past. And it said Jesus was anointed of the Holy Ghost and power. And Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, was anointed with the Holy Ghost and power. I said God anointed him with Holy Ghost and power. I said the Lord, great God, Jehovah, anointed his son with Holy Ghost and power, and he went everywhere. Well, what did he do? He went around healing and delivering and setting free the captive.
Amen.
And healing. Wait a minute now. Has God changed his mind? Or maybe he got kind of lazy on the job and he kind of lying there. Are you taking it back? He's either lying or taking it back. So, is he the same yesterday, today, and forever? Oh, wait a minute now. Hold on now. Hebrews 13:8, it says that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What is the same yesterday, today? It's about his promises to his people. Oh, his direct promises and covenant. Because he made an agreement. And so he's got to either renege on that agreement or take it back. Or else God is a liar. Somebody's a liar. The Bible said, let every man be a liar. So we know where, and let every devil be a liar. But let God's words be true. So somebody is on the witness stand, and somebody's lying on the witness stand. Okay. Now, since what it says, is that what scripture is that? Numbers 23, Yahweh is not a man that he should lie. He's not like human beings, yeah, or like the devils. It said in, I think it's Numbers 23 or 19 or something like that. I don't have the, but it says Yahweh El Shaddai is not a man like a man or human that he should lie. That he should lie. Has he not spoken? Has he not said? Will he not back it up? Will he not do it? So here's the Holy Ghost and the Son on the witness stand testifying to the Father and what the Father is saying through Jesus and the apostles. Yah is not a man that he should lie like humans.
Numbers 23
like
and 19.
That lying devil. Remember, all lies came from the devil. He's the author of all lies. Every lie, when he never come whispering to you, you can all absolutely know there's a lie in it. There's a deception in it.
Numbers 23 and 19, brother. 23 and 19.
So here we got, here the Lord God is confessing and announcing, and the Holy Ghost is saying about the Father, Yah is not a man that he should lie. So who's a liar? 844 John. Satan is a liar, and he'll pass it on to us human. Okay? Said Yahweh is not like you fleshly human beings who make two lies. And not like the devil who passed the lie on, and he's still lying. And he's still walking on the earth and still lying. Every demon come with a twisted lie or deception. The Bible says Jesus went everywhere validating what he said in the old, what the Father said, and Jesus went around healing all that were sick, all that were oppressed, all that were bound, and he set the captive free, and he opened the prison doors. Isaiah 61, Luke chapter 4. Now, his word is going out of his mouth. The Bible says His word is going out, his promise is going out of his mouth, and it shall not return unto him void. The only thing that can make it void is the second party saying, I don't believe. The second party can void the promise by saying, I don't believe, so I ain't going to receive. So that's something we got to do, is that right? The second party, right?
Amen.
Do you know why so many right now, there's a great move and a great revival in China and the world, not saying hardly nothing about it? Because it's an underground move of the Holy Spirit with the Chinese people, because it was up above ground. The Russian government, the communists, Putin, and all of them would put all them thousands, try to kill all of them and put them in jail. So it's an underground move of the Holy Spirit, because they don't have freedom in China to celebrate the Bible of Jesus, because they are communist, Marxist state, and they hate the Bible. And they tell you, anything that hates the Bible and the gospel is the devil. I don't care who is it that hate the Bible and the gospel and the law and the prophets. They hate that spirit is from the devil. Can you say amen or amen?
Amen.
All right. Thank you, Jesus. Now, they say it's okay to kill all these babies and put their name and sign says okay to have abortion. Now, they say I don't care what officer says, kill all babies. And I don't care what you put your name say. God says it's okay for homosexual, transgender, for drugs, for murder, to take the Bible out of school, or take prayer out of school, or this or that. I don't care what person signed on to that. They signed on to destruction, and they're calling God's word a liar.
Amen.
Did you get that?
Amen.
Now, somebody's lying. And they're calling God, you're a liar, because I'm putting my name, say it's okay. The Supreme Court says it's okay, same sex. Or the way versus Roe, the law says it's okay to kill babies, same-sex marriages. Now they're saying drugs, and they're now saying violence and racial hatred is okay as long as you keep the government going, or just all kinds. Somebody is lying.
Yeah.
Somebody's backing up a lie. And the lie comes from the devil. Am I right about it? Or am I wrong about it?
Amen. You're right about it.
Okay. Now let's divide between the lies. Let's separate the lies. Now you want to make somebody mad, brother? If you really want to make the world and the nation mad, let's do like John the Baptist, cry loud and spare not. And we may not get our head cut off right now, but if you go to certain places, you get your head cut off.
Amen.
Okay, let's go back to Romans 10. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth, this confession or this announcement, and believe in your heart. Now, let's show you, demonstrate how this works. And that's what we're going to do, the great confession of the word of God. Not just confession, but we confess lies, deception, or evil. You know, people do that all the time. Unbelief, doubt, whatever comes out of their mouth. And eventually they will have what they say. Now, here's the principle about this confessing. In the 11th chapter of Mark, Jesus is teaching a lesson. Christ is teaching a lesson to his disciples. And he's teaching us. It is for us and for all that believe, to us today. In the 11th chapter of Mark, verse 22 to 25. You want to read that right quick, Mark, so we can lay a second foundation.
11th chapter of Mark, verse 22 to verse 25. And the word of God says, "And Jesus answering said unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he say shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he say. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespass.
Now that's, I'm giving enough three witnesses about this saying, the power that's in your mouth and your tongue. And a redeemed person in Christ and an unsaved person, even unsaved, ungodly people have power in their mouth. But the redeemed person that's in Christ, that's redeemed, has a correct use of power and redemption in their mouth because they got the Lord of life in their life, the Redeemer in their life. And their words are declaring and announcing something. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth, now this is very important because every day we're releasing all kind of words that's tripping us up, that's hindering us.
Amen.
That's stumbling at us and bringing certain stuff to us and bringing stuff on our own self. And we blame it on the devil and we blame it on God, but actually we should blame ourselves. We got to put something on ourselves. We can't throw everything on the devil. Or the devil made me do it. No. You can't put all of it on the devil. This is another thing. We won't put everything on the devil. Now, he may be behind all evil and all wickedness and your destruction, but you got to take responsibility because you're the one saying it. We're the one that's giving place to it, so we got to take some responsibility. Is that right? Now, let me give you an example. I look on the Facebook, and this lady says that Biden, the duly elected president of the United States, she said, well, he's not my president. I don't recognize him as president. God don't recognize him as president. So I listen to that. Now I want you to understand this now. She saying because her man, Mr. Trump, did not win, and he'll spread these lies all year for people to believe this half-baked lies. The election is fraud. If I don't win, it's a fraud. He did this for almost a year to try to set himself up that people would believe this lie. And he kept saying, it's a fraud. The election is a fraud. And he did all these things to try to make people believe, because when the election really comes, this word would be in their mind. They done took this word. They done took this word and spread it all. Oh, it's a fraud. These Democrats, they're appealing the election. They still, it's Trump, don't win. It's a fraud. Now, see, this is set up to believe untrue lies that may not really be. I'm sure there is some evidence of people being fraudulent. And so now, by all those words that were released by Trump and all his support all year long, they kept saying this, planting this word. Now they got a reason or excuse to storm the Capitol of the United States and use violence and hatred to overthrow the election. See how cunning the devil is?
Yeah.
Now, this is the use of the tongue. The use of release of words releasing all year long. And every time you see Mr. Trump or his supporters, it talks about frauds and lies to the Democrats. It's all they talk about. They're fraud and they lie. I'm sure there is some liars and fraud among all of them, Democrats, all of them. I'm sure there is some. But they forget that the Republicans and the people who call us the party, they lie too. They left that out. They have to overlook that. The only infallible people are the Republicans, conservatives, right? The only infallibles.
Yeah.
Okay, now, let's go back. How does system work? Power of life and death in the tongue. Proverbs 18 says it's power of life and death in the tongue. For who? For whom? Okay, is it 8 o'clock for the sisters can come on now?
Yeah, actually, it's past 8.
How many?
You got, let's see.
25?
No, you got 15 minutes.
Okay, we got to turn it over to sisters now. They got to come in.
Okay. So I'm looking for them to be in a minute.
Okay. Well, we're not gonna waste no seconds. Every second is precious. The Bible says, "This is the day the Yahweh has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." I should rejoice and be glad in it. How did you turn the tides of that day or the circumstances or difficulties in my life? The negative things that's happening to me. Even though I'm going to have tribulation, I'm going to have trials, I'm going to have difficulty, Jesus said. But you can turn the tide and have the victory. Listen to what Jesus said. No matter, you're going to have trials, tests, tribulation, trouble, and distresses, but you can turn the tide. Because he gave you the word to overcome that. He gave you a word to overcome. To overcome. And he said this in the Revelation to the church, he that overcome it. So it made it possible for you to overcome. And what he said, you're more than a conqueror. Now it's up to you whether we choose to be a conqueror, more than a conqueror, Paul says. Now, everybody's not automatically going to be no conqueror, but that's something you got to do. See, this thing that God's going to do it all is really getting on my nerves. I admit, I'm still a human. It gets on my nerve when I hear these people get on TV telling me God's in charge, he's going to do it, all that kind of stuff. And they just kind of really, in a sense, misleading people. And they sitting back, well, God's going to do it all. He's in charge. And I don't have to do it. Oh, my goodness. Now, let's see.
Brother, let's welcome on the
Bible says
right
God
now.
Has
God
not given us the spirit of fear. Do you know the Bible says in Second Timothy 1:7-8, God, Yahweh, Jesus, the Holy Ghost, the prophets, none of them, God has not given us the spirit of fear. Fear has torment and oppression from the devil. There's three types of fears the Bible talks about, three types of fear. One is totally negative and from the devil. The other one is the poverty one is the fear of God, totally different. But then there's a fear, human fear, that protects us. And then there's an extreme fear that hinders us, that man uses.
Yeah.
Okay, now, the Bible declares, God has not given us the spirit of fear. Fear means oppression, worry, anxiety, or stressed out. Says he hasn't given me the spirit of fear.
Amen.
The tormenting, oppressing fear. Then the Bible in Psalms 23, it says, I will fear no evil. Wait a minute now. Are you telling me I'm the fear of no evil as a believer in Christ? Why? Because by rod and that staff delivers or comforts me.
Yeah.
Now it says in Psalm 27, the Lord Jehovah, Yah, is my eternal light, consuming fire and salvation. Whom shall I fear? Now it's talking about whom shall I fear?
Mm-hmm.
Whom shall I be afraid of? Why is he asking me these kind of stupid questions? I should not fear evil. I should not fear destruction. I should not fear no devil, no demon, no witch, no warlock, no man, no mountain, no valley, no test, no storm, no army, no accident, no storm. I should not fear. What are you talking about? I should not fear.
Mm-hmm.
Because the authority of his word is in your heart and your mouth.
Yeah.
Now, what you choose to do with it, no, I'm going to fear because the Lord commanded me to fear. I'm not talking about the fear of God. I'm talking about the fear about everything that occurs in life. The light and salvation, David said, whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came up on me to eat of my flesh, they stumbled and fell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why did David, a 16-year, a 17-year-old youth, did not fear Goliath? And the whole army of Israel was shaking. And a boy, a young shepherd boy, came out of the background, about 16 years old, and said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that dare to challenge the army of the living God? Who is this uncircumcised devil here? Now, wait a minute, Dave. Don't you see this man is 11 foot tall or whatever? And he's and you're not afraid?
Rooted and grounded.
Wait a minute now. Hold on. Don't you see storms and earthquakes and things are coming and plagues? Wait a minute now. Coronavirus? Wait a minute. Hold on. Famines are coming and money shortage. Thou shalt. God has not given me the spirit of fear, but love, faith, peace, power, and a sound mind. Then what has he given me? Love, faith, peace, wisdom, and a sound mind.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, wow. I can say I will not live in fear. I will give no place because the Lord commanded me that I should not worry.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute now. You see all these circumstances and problems I come and I'm facing? Thou shalt not fear. Thou shalt not worry.
Mm-hmm.
Brother, you got 9 minutes left, brother.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yes.
We're going to stretch it out to 39 minutes. All right, 9 minutes. Go ahead, dear sisters. I turn it over to you.
Amen. Well, I thank you, praise the Lord. I've been listening, and I confess that the word of the Lord Jesus Christ is truth. And, you know, if you got it rooted and grounded like David have in you, then whom shall I fear? I thank and I praise the Lord, and I'm praying for that type of faith of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob's type of faith and the discerning of the Spirit, Lord Jesus, and I thank him because he lets you see when that devil is coming. I confess it. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ, his word is true and alive.
Amen. Amen. I thank the Lord for the broadcast that went forth tonight. And I thank the Lord Jesus that his word is true. And you know how the Lord's word is being manifest right before our eyes. And you know, I truly thank the Lord. You know that Brother Lee was talking on some of the things that I was ministering to my grandsons last night about being disobedient, you know, to their parents.
Mm-hmm.
And I was telling them that there's consequence behind being disobedient and disrespectful. And last night, right before we got on the broadcast, the little young guy that I used to keep, and I think we had him for about 4 years, and last night, you know, he got shot in the hip, and then the bullets started traveling. And they had to airlift him to Jackson, and you know, and then he passed away, and you know, and I was saying that you have to be obedient, because the Lord said that a disobedient child would not live long upon this earth, and that he made that, and he made it with a promise, and you know, and I was telling you, you have to discipline them, you know, and do what you have to do concerning them, because not only will they suffer, but they will cause you to suffer also. And I just want to thank the Lord, you know, for his word. And on tomorrow, I'm gonna let my grandson listen to this message, you know, that have went forth tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And I truly thank the Lord for the word.
Amen.
Now, we thank God that we must confess, I will not live in fear about it. The Lord said he's not giving me fear. If he haven't given me fear, I'll be anxious or stretched out. Philippians said, be anxious for nothing. So he got to command me not to worry or fret. He said, don't worry or fret because of evil. Fret not yourself because of evil doing. And he's given us many commands. Many commands for our victory and our deliverance. And, you know, as we end this broadcast, everything is contained in the gospel of Christ and the promises that he made to the New Testament, to every individual that want to believe and receive it and begin to confess with their mouth and believe it in their hearts and begin to hold fast to it. You may have to hold to it for day by day and month by month before you see the manifestation. And sometimes you have to take authority and dominion. If you're fighting a great difficulty, you have to hold fast. You may have to fight with that sword for months and weeks and don't give place. You may have to curse that cancer for a month or 2 months and command that cancer. You may stand your ground and speak and declare the word and the will of God, and you may have to do it consistent with an agreement to get the victory. You may have to speak to that demon, speak to that mountain, speak to that sin, speak to that rebellious spirit, speak to that, my God, spirit. You may have to declare with authority and said, I hold fast the confession of my mouth, because there's power of life and victory in my mouth and in my heart.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
We got to start being consistent and diligent and holding fast and holding fast until it comes to pass. And say, I'm not moving away, devil. I don't care what you can whisper. You can whisper to my mind. You can make it worse. You can make it look worse. I'm going to hold fast.
Yeah.
Well, it's getting worse. I don't care if it's getting worse. I know God is a man of his word, and he's not worried about how it's getting worse. He's worried about I'm holding fast his word.
Yes, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
So, everyone out there, as we close, whatever nation you are, Jesus is Christ, is the living word, the living rhema word. He's alive forevermore. If you want Christ to be your life and your redeemer and your new beginning, said Jesus who died on the cross and rose again, and his blood paid for all of the darkness and sin in my life to redeem me from the curse, the sin nature. I can say, Lord Jesus, you're the life giver. You are the Lamb who paid and purchased my deliverance. I confess with my mouth that I believe that you died and rose again, and that I today acknowledge you as my Lord and Savior, invite you to rule and reign in my life, blot out all my iniquity, give me life, for I trust in your word. I trust in your promise if I call upon you and confess you and believe you in the heart. I trust your word, and I'm saying, well, now you'll be getting, and you'll find that I need to take a step forward. Be baptized in Jesus' name and move forward in Christ, and you shall have a new and a better day in your life. Amen.
Amen. Thank God for the word. Thank God for the broadcast tonight. Thank God for all you listening. Don't forget tomorrow night, another broadcast will be coming on tomorrow night at 7 o'clock p.m. as we come with part two of what God has given to set up and establish his church. So look for the advertisement at 7 o'clock p.m. So once again, that's for Brother Lee. And this is Brother Nate and Sister Anderson. We love you. God bless you and God keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.
Amen. God bless.